for now. Okay. Does anybody need the Galatians folder? Does everybody have it? Okay. I kind of figured. So it doesn't look like I scared everybody off, just some. So I'm just going to go over a couple of little things that I didn't do last time, and before we actually get into class, James is going to lead us in the opening prayer. Amen. Okay. I may not, in fact, I probably won't go back over the outline every time. Just depends. Might have occasion to. But the very first page in your folder is the Galatians outline. And I explained I have a Holman's Master Study Bible that I've had. Jill bought me three over the last many years, or four. I can only find three, I think. But they get kind of worn out. Anyway, in the front of every book, the beginning of every book, it has a printed out outline, and then it has sometimes it'll give a written history of the author and or some of the times. It's a little bit of information for you. So that's where this outline came from for Galatians. There's things in here that I would probably have worded differently. Just because if we come across those, we'll talk about them. But so it breaks it down into an introduction, his authority and authenticity of his message, the way of salvation, and the path of freedom, and then a postscript, sacrificial living in contrast to legalism. So anyway, then there's a little map. We talked a lot about that the last time. Gil was telling me before class he's got, on his Bible program, he's got some other maps, access to some other maps and stuff. So we maybe get a chance to add some things to this as we go through, just to see if I can find. So we talked a little bit about, just did a little introduction last time. I read you most of this, those that were here, of this beginning into the Galatians. So now what I want to do is, I felt like I didn't do something I want to try to make sure I do it this week, and that is the very first few verses in Galatians 1. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are following a different gospel. Not that there really is a different gospel, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be condemned to hell. As we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you've received, let him be condemned to hell. Am I now trying to gain the approval of people or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ. Okay. So is that working okay, James?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So one thing I shouldn't do is depend a lot on my memory. But anyway, so we have Paul introducing himself in this way, course he knows them, but talking with them about the things he's going to pin to them. And he writes verse 2, he starts off with it, and all the brothers with me to the churches of Galatia. Have you, if somebody would, let me, somebody look at Romans, the first chapter. Another person look at First Corinthians, first chapter. Someone else wouldn't mind looking at Ephesians, the first chapter. Someone Philippians, and then Colossians, the first chapter. In most of those places, you'll find a mention to whom Paul's writing in the first few verses, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 here and there. I just want to notice something about that, and then we'll go back and make a comment about 1 Thessalonians 1 and Galatians 1, but after we've read the others. So I don't think I'm going to be able to turn to them that fast to stay ahead of you, but somebody would like to read, so 1 Corinthians 1, what did I say? Yeah, Romans, I'm sorry, Romans is the first one. Okay, go ahead.
So in verse 1, Paul says, Paul, our servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, drop down now to verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints.
Right.
Grace to you and peace.
Okay, so Paul introduces himself, the bondservant of Christ, and then he gets down through these verses and mentions two, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Keep it in mind. You can keep your finger there if you'd like. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Somebody have that?
Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brothers, Sosthenes,
yeah. Okay, I've forgotten what your wording was, but most holy people or something. In my New American Standard, it says to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. So you still have the same, just a little bit of a wording difference there. Ephesians, the first chapter, somebody? Okay, so there he refers to the saints. You saw that in Romans. You saw that in 1 Corinthians, to the saints. And then Philippians. First chapter of Philippians. Anybody have that?
From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi,
okay.
Overseers and deacons.
Okay, so we have the saints there again. Colossians, the first.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae.
Okay.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father.
Okay. And maybe I'm making too much of this, but it occurred to me, I haven't noticed it before, but it occurred to me in all of these verses, how many of them are? Five. In all these five here, we see that Paul gets around to calling them saints, faithful brethren, whatever, but saints. Now, let's look over at 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and see. And if you remember, when Paul wrote about the Thessalonians and other places, it's mentioned that the folks in Thessalonica, they had a wonderful name. There was a good reputation. They preached the word and taught it here and there, far and wide. But anyway, look at 1 Thessalonians 1, down through, I don't know, probably through 4 or 5.
Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians that were there.
Yeah.
And God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election.
Okay. But he doesn't call them saints, does he? Maybe that's just me being too picky. He calls them brethren, but he's very specific in these other congregations that he calls them saints. Now, Galatians 1, 3 through 5. I'll get that one unless somebody's already there. And that's fine, too. Let's see. I think I'll start back in verse 1. Paul, an apostle not sent from men, nor through the agency of men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who were with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. He's saying that there are brethren who are with him, but I'm having a hard time finding, as he's opening this letter, that he's writing it to who? You know, he's writing to the Galatians. He doesn't say the saints. He doesn't say the... So, and that could just be me being picky. Just, where's that wording? You know, I would think that they would be there. Knowing what's in the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, you know, they had the problem of the man who had his father's wife or his father's stepmother for him. With that problem and the other problems that the Galatian brethren had, he makes a point of calling them saints, and in Rome and the other places too. And it's just odd to me, unless there's just more to it. I know that, and we do know this, that the issue in Galatia, well, the churches of Galatia, the issue was pretty serious. It was the gospel being taught, but not really the gospel being taught of Jesus Christ. Yes, by name, but with the fact that it was being perverted, it was being changed. So it wasn't really the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think it means that he thought that all the folks that attended at the churches in Galatia were not members, or were not members in good standing, so to speak, because they were so far off from the truth as they were believing it, as it was being practiced. But it makes me think. When you look at the Corinthian brethren, James, you're coming up. The Corinthian brethren, they had a whole ton of problems. And Paul still called them saints. Now, answer it for me, James, because I'm anxious. Okay.
They had problems, some of them very severe problems.
Sure.
And yet John refers to them in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus. So just because they were having those issues doesn't mean that there was a disconnect between John and Paul them as members of the body and of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That through correction, through instruction, that we can move them back towards the cross and back towards Christ when they have slipped and fallen away.
Sure, and you wouldn't want to push them away because of your attitude about whatever the issue was. But it makes me wonder, is one issue more of a real problem than the other, or than another issue? Is there anything to really be made of or to think about, as James was talking about there? The fact that, you know, there's issues in any congregation, but the problem or the issue in Galatians, the churches in Galatia, happens to be, you know, you're not teaching the gospel of Christ. When you do this, and when you teach something other than, and I know I'm tromping all over a question down here somewhere, but when you do this and you teach something that is different than the original, you're not giving glory to God. You're not really giving glory to Christ. We know that all things were created through Christ and God in the creation working together with him. So, you know, again, maybe I'm just being picky with this notion, but I've thought about it for a long time why? Because to me it's a real glaring what's the word? Anyway, omission, I guess you'd say. Yeah, go.
Just a thought. When we think about the term saint, to be set apart for a specific purpose, that purpose is to keep God's commandments and to spread God's word. It's twofold. Well, as you were just talking, the Galatians were doing neither. They were not keeping God's commandments. They were keeping something else that they called the gospel, but Paul said it's not really. Yeah. So they were keeping a perversion. And when you're keeping a perversion, you can't be teaching God's word.
Yeah.
And that's the problem we see with all of the denominations or the community churches,
religion
today. They are, one, not keeping God's word. Two, they can't be teaching God's word because they're not keeping it in the first place. That's the problem with, that I see here with the Galatians. And so by definition, they're not saints.
James?
No.
Okay. I yes, Charles.
In Colossians, he actually calls, says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ.
There's
both there in Colossians.
Right. See, the only two.
But in Galatians, I don't see him addressing them as saints or Christians. I see him telling, he's saying this is Paul, an apostle, and the other brethren.
Yeah.
But I don't see him addressing them as brethren or saints.
Right. He's making a big distinction, to me at least. This little pea brain of mine just bothered me because they were not, and others were. And so we had Romans, 1 Corinthians, I didn't look in 2 Corinthians, but Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, they all are spoken to or written to as saints. Very specifically, the Thessalonians, though they had a great reputation, and the Galatians, it's left out. Charles and then James, or
so,
Gil?
So what is the time frame we're talking about from this first?
48 to 58.
From the first writing to the last one?
Now you're taking in all the others. 48 to probably in the low 60s, I would guess. I have a book.
So my point is that this is a lot of years between each of these writings.
Oh, yeah.
Five.
When you have five out of seven, and five out of seven that were called saints, and the other two were not, it's just odd to me. Why weren't they? Were they not? When you look at the seven churches, we're going to get into that in the Revelation class. Some of the congregations there, were doing well, working hard. Some were, was it Laodicea? Was it lukewarm? He wanted to spit them out of his mouth. So there's a definite distinction there. But I don't think I had really noticed it until just the last few years that it really kind of glared at me there that they're not being called saints. It always impressed me with all of the different problems that the congregation in Corinthians had. The one having his father's wife, that they were called saints. Stephen, I missed you a minute ago.
So the issues that the Corinthians were having wasn't that they weren't teaching the gospel correctly.
They just had problems, yeah.
They had problems.
That's right.
But the Galatians were not teaching the gospel.
That's right. That's right.
Blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That is the difference. And that's going to get to that. But First Thessalonians are I didn't really dig into that as deeply as I wanted to this afternoon, but They had a good reputation,
And Paul strokes that reputation.
Yes, he does.
The beginning of both letters.
Yes, he does, yeah. So it's just interesting. And I think it does come down to, it's not quite the same as the sin that is unforgivable. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and you never intend to glorify God and so forth, you're never going to be forgiven because you have no intent of heart to go. But I saw a hand over here, James and then Gil. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to pick a little bit.
Okay.
He calls it the church. The church is not a building. The church is people.
Yeah.
The ecclesia is the called out, the ones that are separated apart from the world.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they are identified by him as an ecclesia, a called out people. The second thing is, he uses this phrase a lot in his letters, is grace and peace unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and peace were only afforded and given to those that were Christians.
Yeah.
It was not something that was given to a non-Christian.
Right. That's right.
So I think maybe in a way where the semantics of not seeing the word saint is,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going a little bit too much into that world.
Probably.
Because he would, if he didn't care and love these people, he would not have written a letter.
Oh, that's right. Or it would have been.
There's a lot to say that he actually took the time to write to them.
Right. Okay. Gil and then Eric.
Along this line, if we look at verse 6, Paul says, I'm astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are following a different gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And this grace kind of alludes back to what James was just talking about, that free will gift. And you can't have peace in the context that this is being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That's our relationship with God. And we can gather together as a ecclesia, and we can be doing wrong, i.e. Smyrna.
True.
So when I look at this, and I'll chase a rabbit here real quick.
That's okay.
A brother who has fallen away, is he still a brother?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still a saint?
He may not be a faithful brother, but he's still,
And that, there's the question.
Well, Galatians chapter 2.
Says, I'm astonished that you have deserted Christ.
Yeah.
Galatians.
That's right. Eric, I'm sorry.
Well, this is pure speculation on my part, but you often wonder, did this group of churches have elders? Did they have deacons? Did they have strong leadership?
And we don't know about the Galatians.
Because what's fascinating is, if they had elders and deacons, I wonder if some of these conditions would have happened.
They may not have been a problem, or they may have been being addressed. So it's just difficult to say when we don't really have it.
Did Paul go there on the second journey when he and Barnabas went through and established?
To Galatia? Well, he did. They did go, 1 Corinthians 14:23. They went back through Galatia. Let's see, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe.
But I do know that Paul warns them and says that even from among yourselves, wolves will rise up.
Even from among the elders,
it would have said, I'm writing to you elders to straighten this situation out.
Get this
That's
taken care
not
of.
How it starts out.
That's right. Because we know that he talked with the elders from Ephesus at Miletus. He said, this is what's going to happen. You were just talking about that from among you. Jill, did you have a...
Verse 11, he calls them brethren.
Okay, in Galatians 1. He does. Brethren, that's a good...
Because he on the second journey, he did go back through the same area and establish elders.
Mm-hmm. But he does call them brethren in 1 Corinthians, Galatians 1:11.
Yes.
I had missed that. But I saw the brethren mentioned earlier, but that was talking about those who were with him. So, anybody else over here that I missed? Aaron.
It's like I'm sitting here wrapping my head around. I'm going to be stuck on this for a week. Thanks, by the way, Mike.
You're welcome. Y'all done with it by next week, then?
I know. I enjoy the fact that you're pointing this out. I never thought about it either. I think that definitely I'm going to kind of go with what Charles is saying, that it speaks to the humanity of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And even though having the Holy Spirit, he still is Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So, ergo, Holy Spirit, not a joystick.
Yeah.
And then it also speaks to the authenticity of the writings.
Yeah.
Where if you were to call...
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was like, have a nice day.
Yeah.
So I like how you're pointing that out. I think I'm going to go with James and everybody on this. It's not that he's not calling them a certain name has any relevance, but I think it does speak to the authenticity and the humanity of Paul. I think so. Needs.
So
it's, sure. It's a fascinating point. I think I'll bring that up on the proof of the Bible stuff.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, and again, I don't know that you can make too fine a point of it, and just like you say, chase rabbit hole forever, but I can't imagine that he didn't call them saints and didn't realize it, you know, and didn't it just offhanded, you know. I think that there was a point to be made, Charles.
Mm-hmm. Words that he's using, then the ones that are with him, he says,
or brethren.
He calls them brethren.
Yeah.
Not saints.
No, he called them brethren, yeah. Well, yeah. Jill?
Well, this was one of the first book that Paul wrote. Maybe saints wasn't a common phrase at that time.
Could be. Yeah.
Anybody else?
He didn't call them saints in Hebrews either. Okay. Well, you know those Hebrews, they had, you know those Hebrews, they had all kinds of...
we all know why that was. He didn't use the phrase grace and peace either, so...
There you go. There you go.
Barnabas didn't use that language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I've left that there for you. I don't know that I have an actual answer for you. It seems like it must have been designed in some way to make a point to them. You know, if you were living there at that time with Apostle Paul, and he wrote to us just one letter or two or three letters, and mentioned in those letters that we are saints in the churches in Galatia, and then suddenly we're no longer mentioned in that way, I think we'd notice it after the first, second letter maybe. But it's just interesting to me that he... makes a, or that the point is made of, it's not there. Galatians, I've forgotten why I wanted to go here, so let me look at it. Galatians 6, I think I know why. Yeah. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And it goes on from there. It's definitely worthy of being called brethren. Obviously they are, even if they're having severe problems, the kind in Galatians 6 where you go and do your very best to try to help them with those problems. But anyway, any other thoughts or anything about that? Exhaust that one or... go on from there. I don't know that much else can be, for me, any other point can be made from that, except that he seems to at least note it so that they have no doubt. Remember, and you're going to have to help me with this, probably 2 Corinthians, when Paul wrote to them, and he said, you know, they say or you say that he's kind of slight, that there's these... He writes and speaks big things, talks about things and threats and so forth. But when he comes and he's in our presence, he's very quiet. He's kind of meek and not... Remember where that is, James? Okay. Anyway, but he... the reason for that was there that he was still considering them his brother and brothers with them. Let's see. I may just have to find that and come back with it next week. But anyway.
I'll pull that apart for you, Mike. I'm going to pull that apart for you.
Okay.
See what the relationship language looks like throughout the entire books of the first of all.
Okay.
Give me a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't.
Mike, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. I think it's verse 1.
Probably. Okay, verse 1. Yeah, Paul, myself, urged you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that when I am present, I need not to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some. who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And, okay, it keeps going. I forgot what the point was I was going to make with that, but, well, verse 6, we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Okay. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. So, yeah, they see a distinction there. They seem to be, well, thinking he's hypocritical, I guess, in one respect, that he doesn't follow through when he's in person. But, you know, if they've made some changes and done better, there's no reason to come in like a big storm either. So.
Yeah. Voice should be the same through your letters, and I think they're seeing the opposite. I think that when Paul gets there, they're seeing a man who's beaten, scourged, and all these things, and his physical presence is not as scathing as what his letters are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so, because you can be pretty tough in a letter and not necessarily want to be that tough when you're there in person, not because you're afraid for yourself. Maybe they've had some time to think about it and made some corrections too, you know. What's that?
Stephen's point was they're reading the letter and they're like, "You're Paul? Wow, we thought you'd be taller."
Right.
You know, that sort of. But I think that's perfect. What Stephen said is
that's right.
You're going to hear a lecture from the most brilliant man in the world, and you walk in and he's sitting
5'2".
He's in a wheelchair and a computer's talking.
Yeah. Unique, yeah.
So he is in control of himself in that because he's the one that can lash out if he wanted to or hold both ways. But what I want to say that this is a problem we have in today's society.
Sure.
Social media and email and all kinds of stuff. To be brash and bold in their statements, yet they would not say that same thing face to face with a brother or sister.
So this is the original.
I guess.
And I think the point he does make in Corinthians is that you need to see that I'm consistent indeed in action to my words.
Yeah, that consistency needs to be there. That's right. It's hard to say. Was that a character flaw? Was he less likely to be upset with them and powerful and loud with them in his letters, but not in when he was there physically? That seems to be what they're saying is happening. But it's difficult, different. I don't know that he would deliberately want to be that way. I think he's making the case. Well, in fact, there is a passage that it's almost like that. Wait till your father gets home. You know, except that that's not him. Let me see this here. I'm pretty sure it's in this same place. He asks something like, "Well, do you want me to come? Do you want me to come angry, you know, in that way?" Or, I don't know, but it's all in this, probably in this same area here. Anyhow, this goes back to what Paul does and how he's acting and reacting towards these brethren in his letters and in his own word of mouth, but I'm still wanting to find that. Okay, well, so a little bit of a rabbit hole there. So I don't remember that we did these. The leading cities of Galatia are Antioch, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium. There might be a couple more, but I think those are the ones that really that we read about. That's where he went and looked. You look on that map, you can see that cluster of cities right in this area when they get to Antioch of Pisidia. And I think I mentioned last week, it's always looked like a hand that can unfold like that, and then you've got spokes of where folks can take the word and spread it out into that whole area. And then we read that he was in Bithynia, wanting to go to Mysia, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. And so the Holy Spirit had other plans for the brethren there, and someone in the works to do that work, and or getting word the word by word of mouth from the other congregations and cities round about. So how was Paul made an apostle? Let's see what you think about, or your interpretation, or on how he asked this question.
Well, he said it wasn't by men, but it was by Christ Jesus and God the Father.
Okay. Charles?
He had an encounter face to face with Jesus.
He did. Yeah. He face to face talking with him and so forth on the road. On the road there, on his way to Damascus. So, now, there's a couple other things that, let's see, how was Paul made an apostle? A couple other things that I wrote down, and I've got to go see now why I wrote it down. But if you can see these, there's no room to even write a small note, and my squiggles and scribbles and stuff are just, so then I forget what I was writing down. But okay, so we know that he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. But this isn't what he was asking about. Cite other Bible verses, how he was made an apostle. So Acts, let me look at this. It's 8:15.
Mike, yep,
go ahead.
If we look at the other apostles,
mm-hmm.
how were they made apostles?
Mm-hmm.
One, they had to experience or go through mm-hmm. all of the things that Christ was, from his baptism to his ascension.
Mm-hmm.
That's chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
They were witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
And what turned the corner for them was when the Spirit came upon them in mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2.
Sure.
That's what made them apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So they were given all knowledge, and mm-hmm. they were given power. Those are the two things that separate the apostles
yeah.
from mortal man, if you will.
Yeah.
The ability to pass power on to others.
Mm-hmm.
So how was Paul made an apostle? He said it wasn't by man.
Yeah.
So if it was by Christ, it has to be the exact same way.
Yeah.
He was given all knowledge. When Christ appeared to him, Christ revealed to him very obviously
mm-hmm.
all the things that the apostles needed to know
mm-hmm.
and to experience. And the second thing is, he was given power.
Yeah.
I mean, any other assumption just doesn't fit Occam's razor, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Right, they have to follow these guidelines, so to speak, as to what experiences the apostles had had. And it might make you stop and think, or might made me stop and think a little bit. How did he actually have this experience? Well, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. But, you know, I think it's safe to say, easy to say, that he was in and around Jerusalem and hearing about the things that happened with others. And of course, he was interested in going and finding them and persecuting them. But he lived in the moment, if you will, with the things that went on while he was there, though he may not have seen them firsthand. But certainly being approached on the road to Damascus did a whole lot, because he knew then for sure that this is the Son of God. So he was a witness to him in that way, and God revealed to him, as it says here, that he was not from men nor by human agency. And so it was delivered to him by God, as the scripture there also says. And something else I was going to say about that.
I shared your curiosity, Mike, because I always thought, like, well, he didn't go from Damascus straight to, create mm-hmm. churches.
No.
Like, there's this gap, right? Three mm-hmm. years of the wilderness. What happened in 3 years of the wilderness? I like to think that the fact that he was in the wilderness for 3 years, almost the exact time that the disciples were with Christ, like something like that.
Yeah.
My imagination, something like that happened, is where
mm-hmm.
he's putting together everything that he would have if he was following Jesus step by step when he was alive.
True,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, I share, like, what, so he's ended up in Tarsus, and he doesn't kind of swings in and picks it up on the way ahead.
Yeah.
What happened? Like,
right.
What happened to you from that time? I'd be fascinated to read that.
So I had another passage here. I'm trying to remember exactly what I was thinking. I'll just read it to you. I put down Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And this has nothing to do really with how he was made an apostle, but of the comments that have been made, it came from God. It came from seeing Jesus on the road to Damascus and so forth. But so Colossians 3, 1 through 4, I know I'm just going to make a point about this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And so, maybe I got off the subject so much, but how was Paul made an apostle? He would not have been able to be an apostle for the Lord if he didn't have some of these characteristics or the ability to develop these characteristics that are talked about here and other places in the scriptures where you know, it's very important for you to live or to understand how to live as an example to others around you. And it would be like trying to put someone as an elder who doesn't even get within blocks of or anywhere miles of any of the different qualifications that an elder would have to fulfill. So it I don't know exactly just how far down that road I was going to go, but he was made an apostle because of, I guess I would say, some of those tendencies or desire to live like that too. But there's a lot of things about Paul wondering, you know, about, because he apparently wasn't married, but then in the Sanhedrin, you'd had to have been married or engaged or something like that, and so there's some things there that he didn't really meet up with. But I'm sorry, we're actually going to have to finish this next time. It's already 45 minutes went by in a hurry tonight. So that gives me a chance to clarify my thoughts on that, and we'll go on and look some more at this, how he was made an apostle, what he did, and so on. And we'll try to get over to the second one, the certified gospel, next time. Okay? Any other thoughts before we finish tonight? Okay. All right. Well, then we'll stop and get started on the rest. I can't believe, especially that last 15 minutes, that all went to.